Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of Force Chatter. We are going to discuss the second to last episode of Obi-Wan Kenobi. This is the penultimate episode, episode 5, if you will, just to keep things clear and no confusion with the movie series. Because that's
right.
Been a thing.
Because it is a thing, yeah.
So
TV episodes, regular episodes, movie episodes, whatever.
Yeah, remember that fight scene between Obi-Wan and Vader back in episode 4? And I had somebody at work like get into this whole thing. They're talking about episode 4, and I'm like, you mean the show? And like, no, the movie. I'm only on episode 2 of the show. And I'm like, oh, yeah, no, you just described episode 4. He said, A New Hope. And I said, no, episode 4 of the series. He's like, really? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. Anyway, I'm Eric, and I'm here with Lou tonight.
Hello.
Hello. We are without Tim and Tom.
Yeah, unfortunately.
Yep, but we are going to proceed anyway, because we are running out of time. We've only got one more episode of Obi-Wan.
I know. 2 more days, we're going to get the last episode. And, you know, we talked before about this a little bit before we started recording. There's going to be all kinds of memes coming out on Wednesday, you know, with the quote, you know, this will be a day long remembered. It is seen the end of Kenobi. We'll soon see the end of the rebellion. So, you know, we will see the end of Kenobi, and then what else are they going to put on for the meme? You know, see the end.
So
of
I guess
high gas prices.
Is that like a 40-year early announcement that the next series is going to be called Rebellion?
Maybe.
And that we will soon see the end of it? Who knows?
Hey.
All right. You know, it's interesting. My son just came in on Sunday. He's here for a couple of weeks, and so he has not seen Obi-Wan yet. So we've been binge watching Obi-Wan. In fact, I just finished episode 5 for the third time, just prior to us recording tonight. And I noticed a couple of things. So one thing I actually got from New Rock Stars, they were pointing out the different names that were on the wall in episode 3. And one of them, in fact, is, I forget the character's first name. It begins with the V, Valen, maybe, and the last name is Halcyon.
Okay.
And I don't know if you remember that name or not. It's a name from Legends.
I do not.
And then Haja is smuggling a woman and her son out before Obi-Wan comes into his office. You remember that, right?
Yep.
And he's talking about how important it is to get them out before the Empire finds her son's abilities, et cetera. So the son is force sensitive. And she refers to him as Corin. And he appears on the base in episode 5, and he is credited in the credits as Corin.
Hmm.
Corin That's Horn's cool. father's yeah. name, who was a Jedi, was Halcyon.
Okay.
It was the same first, again, I forget the first name, but it's the same first and last name.
That's
so,
cool.
So, as far as I'm concerned, this is official. I mean, you got the father's name, you got the son's first name, he's force sensitive, he would be about 9 years old at this time, and the kid looks like he's about 9 years old. I'm calling it.
I think he should, yeah.
I like that thought. Corin Horn officially in canon now.
You know, it is time and time again, I love how they're playing with stuff from Legends in the new canon. I mean, you can't take it all in, but it's nice to reuse names and reuse, you know, at least bring in the concepts again. So you're not bringing up something brand new.
Yeah.
And it builds out the current world we're in, but it also makes people like us that have seen the Legends stuff or read the Legends stuff happy. Because, I get that back. You know, it's not totally dead.
And it's seamless, too, because people who don't know anything about the character, it has nothing to do with the plot. It doesn't, you know, they're not sitting there thinking, wait, what are they talking about? Because it's throwaway lines that don't impact what's going on in the moment or in the story. But the rest of us do know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gives you the warm and fuzzies. So that's good.
It does. I was so excited about that. That was awesome. But we are going to break down this episode, episode 5. I have to say that this may be the best episode of the season. So we're going to go back to doing it kind of in timeline order, because I think there are enough moments in this episode of significance that it might be more fun doing it that way.
Sure.
Plus, it's just the two of us, so it'll probably spark a little bit more conversation. But we begin the episode with something everybody who's obsessed with the prequels, so meaning not me, was looking forward to. I'm kidding. I'm happy to see this. So we get the flashback with Vader. Not Vader, rather. Vader has the flashback, and it's of Anakin and Obi-Wan training on Coruscant, which was a kind of a cool scene. And
it was.
They took that scene and broke it up into different segments and scattered it throughout the episode. And for the most part, the individual segments that they broke up were relevant to different parts of the episode as the story played out. And I thought that was really cool.
It did. It progressed along with the story that we were getting for current stuff too. So as their lesson that he was teaching him progressed along, we got to see how that foreshadowed what was going on currently.
Right.
It was awesome.
Even the dialogue, maybe this is reading a little bit into it, but it's talking about, oh, Master, I thought you wouldn't come. So he's talking about the fact that he wasn't sure Kenobi would show his head anywhere, which is what happens in the series. And then Kenobi's like, oh, well, that's good because I might have a chance. And, you know, that's exactly what Kenobi has been relying on, is Vader not thinking he's going to show up, and that's how he's going to survive. So it kind of, maybe it's a little of a bit of a stretch, but it kind of reflects back on the current time.
Now, you know, the one thing that did kind of strike, and I mentioned this in our Discord server too, and I think it was David, you know, called me out that this has been a practice going on for generations with Jedi, but it just seems irresponsible to practice with live lightsabers. Doesn't that seem a little dangerous? I mean,
yeah, so
somebody slips up and oops, oh, sorry about that.
David and the others are correct.
They are, totally are. I was kind of saying, poking fun of it a little bit too, because it just seems like, you know, would you practice with live rounds in a blaster? I mean, you know,
I want to see somewhere in some backwater planet somewhere, there's like this little cave of like very primitive people who formed this little group, Oceanic Sea Harvesting Adventurers or something, or, you know, OSHA. Because whatever passes for OSHA in the Star Wars galaxy has got to be just like a couple of guys sitting at a table getting drunk somewhere. I mean, there's just no safety considerations anywhere. We go back to your complaints about the original Death Star design. I'm not standing that close to a big planet-killing Death Star laser.
With
railing, like, but lightsabers in live practice with Padawans.
I mean, you know, we should probably get Carrie involved in this conversation because she does martial arts, and I think when they practice with like wooden staffs and stuff,
right,
like real bladed weapons.
Well, because it's practice.
Right
But yeah,
it was still cool to see. I mean, it was a cool scene. It was
brilliant,
cool dueling. It was cool to see Obi-Wan, you know, kind of besting Anakin and teaching him a lesson and stuff in that scene, which it was fun. It was a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to kind of reflect back on that throughout the episode here. But another thing that happened early on was that we see the third sister become the Grand Inquisitor.
Right.
Yeah. Got that promotion she was bucking for. So
she did. Yeah. That was awesome.
Kudos. Yeah.
It's in her time. Yep.
So we end up back on Jabim, and I kept hoping all this time. So I knew that this was coming from spoilers and stuff. I've known this for months and months and months, and I kept thinking, okay, who are we going to see there? Are we going to see Cal Kestis from the Fallen Order game? Are we going to see any other Jedi? Are we going to see like a younger Ahsoka? Probably not. But are we going to see anybody? And we saw no other Jedi, and that's okay. That's not a complaint at all, because it wouldn't have fit the story. The story was exactly fine the way it was. We didn't need Jedi there, but I would have liked to have seen a little bit of development. We talked about this on a previous episode of this concept that Jedi did survive the Purge. Where did they go? Who survived? Who didn't? Where's Quinlan Vos, for example?
Right. you know, it makes sense not to have him in this episode because
it does.
The minute you have multiple Jedi, now it's Jedi against Vader, and we don't want to see that because that doesn't happen, right?
Right.
And I think the way they played it throughout this series, like having the names carved on the walls and stuff, was enough to give me hope that, hey, you know, there's something out, whether we get a comic book out of it or we get a novel or a series about this whole, you know, call it the Jedi Underground Railroad, for lack of a better term, mm-hmm. Where they're trying to funnel some force sense of people out of the Empire's grasp. I think that'd be fantastic.
As long as we get it.
If we get it, yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah.
That's the one thing that I want to make sure that happens is if we get it, whether it's comics, novels, you're right. Yep. I don't care.
But,
I want
to
see it.
In the meantime, though, it's now in your head that this was happening, and you can imagine what that process looked like.
Yes.
At least in our own headcanon for now, right?
It absolutely validates that that perspective. And mm-hmm. so I'm grateful for that. Like, it's been very good in the way of teasing us that there's more going on out there from an official source, not just from mm-hmm. our own headcanon, but it validates our headcanon, like you were saying.
Right.
So yeah. I think that's important as a fan because it opens up the possibility for various other things going on. And then it also means other Jedi can pop up later if handled well in a way that doesn't break canon. They don't have to go back and explain everything because all of this stage has already been set.
Right.
And we get explanations now for Kanan and Ezra. Ahsoka being able to stick around. Like, we've got some stuff there. Cal Kestis, etc. So anyway, so we're on Jabim, and Obi-Wan, Roken, Tala, and Leia land, and they reunite with, we get to see Haja again.
Yeah, that was fun.
That was cool. That was very cool. So Obi-Wan's like, hey, we got to get out of here. Roken's like, yeah, I get it, but we have a very narrow window of departure here. We've got to get these people out within the next hours. And Obi-Wan's like, okay, you know what? What can we do to help? As they're having this conversation, the Devastator arrives in the system. For those who don't know, the Devastator is the name of Vader's Star Destroyer. So that pops into the system. Obi-Wan has a flashback back to the lightsaber training. It's interesting that they're both flashing back to the same training moment. And I don't know if that's just supposed to be coincidence with the story or if that's supposed to be fortuitous in the Force or that they have a connection or what that's supposed to be.
Yeah, I didn't take that as they were flashing back themselves. I just took it as we were flashing back to that moment.
Okay. And personally, it was hard to tell because a lot of times with these flashbacks, it would either begin or end with a close-up of somebody's face, either Vader's or Anakin's, in the present.
Yeah, so, it could have been. I just didn't take it that way, but you're right.
You're right. And it may not have been. I think maybe it was intentionally left ambiguous, and we were supposed to just draw our own conclusions on it. So in the flashback this time, they're having a heated discussion about the nature of mercy, and Anakin's very much about, mercy doesn't win you any battles. So Vader launches the attack. Lola finally does something useful and cuts the wiring. Locks the docking bay doors down. I'm sorry. I'm not a big Lola fan. Hate me if you want, but little Mickey Mouse ears just, I don't know, doesn't do it for me. So inside, Obi-Wan starts to take control, which is kind of nice to see him. You know, he was a general in the Clone Wars, and then we never really get to see that side of him ever again. And now here's a moment where he is utilizing some strategy, some tactics, he's taking charge, and it was kind of nice to see that. Most of the season so far, he's been kind of more timid and, you know, hiding in his shell.
So, and I think, you know, by design, too, I mean, he's supposed to be out of the limelight and kind of holding back and being reserved, and now it takes a bit to come out of that and become, I gotta be front and center again. I gotta kind of run things. I gotta be General Kenobi again, right? I mean, it's a whole thing that he left behind.
I mean, hey, Vader's on your front door. What is there to hide from now? Like, you've been caught. Sorry. Yeah. So the docking bay doors will not open. The new Grand Inquisitor arrives with a platoon of stormtroopers, a few purge troopers, and a giant double-barreled cannon of some sort that they proceed to use to blast through or try to blast through the outside doors.
I'll hold off till we get to that part.
Oh, okay.
Because I had kind of an issue with that whole sequence of let's storm in here and we got this whole massive platoon of stormtroopers ready to go in. Mm-hmm. And we're firing at this door with this cannon and nothing's happening.
Uh-huh.
And then, well, when we get to that part, we'll talk about that.
Yeah. Yeah, we definitely are. Okay. I've got some issues there, too.
We probably have the same issue, I'm sure.
So inside, Roken's talking about we can't get the doors open. It's going to take hours, et cetera. Haja suggests going into the vents and checking on the wiring for some inexplicable reason. And then Leia volunteers, and then Obi-Wan insists that she be allowed to do it. So I have a couple of questions here. First of all, who keeps their wiring inside vents? Like, I've done cable drops before. Never have I ever heard of anybody keeping wiring in or around their ventilation.
Well, maybe system. Those weren't ventilation tubes. Maybe they were more like a Jeffries tube in Star Trek, right? Maybe, I don't know. I'm grasping at straws.
So that would kind of make sense. Still kind of think that, I mean, they specifically said vents.
Yeah, they did.
They were. And then, so next question. Who lets a 10-year-old run off on their own in ventilation ducts during an evacuation while they're actively under siege?
But he trusts her.
Right. And apparently doesn't mind if she gets left behind or stuck. Right.
But his whole mission is to save her. So, yeah, it's a little weird.
It's a little bit weird. And by the way, I mean, I put this later in the show notes, but I just want to say that sending the 10-year-old in to fix the wiring, because 10-year-olds are very good and can easily intuit things for which normally professional engineers, even the same ones who designed this very system, would need schematics and multimeters and time. Yeah.
And she's just there kind of poking around.
She's literally just poking around. At the end, she pulls out a tool that looks like a screwdriver and then magically connects the two wires together again somehow. Like, number one, where'd she get the tool from? Number two, how did she not know whether the wires were hot or what type of wires they are, or what kind of voltage was going through it?
I'm going to cross the streams one more time, Eric. It was a sonic screwdriver.
Lou, that would almost make more sense than what we saw. I love this episode. Love the series. Love this episode. And this is one of those things we keep talking about with Star Wars where, you know, there's no sound in space and yet we keep hearing all these.
But you know, it's one of those things where it's funny because some of those things you're mentioning, I picked up on and I'm like, whatever. You know, it didn't bother me as much.
Yeah.
Because it is about the story and it is about what's happening, not about the details. And details are important. And I like knowing specs and details as much as the next guy. But for some things, it's like, you know, I'll just let it slide because the story is that good.
Yeah. I want to make it clear. I'm not trying to bash this. I'm poking fun at it in what's meant to be more of a humorous kind of way. It's just like, it's utterly ridiculous that you'd send the 10-year-old in to do something that you would need a professional engineer or electrician with specialized tools and schematics and a lot more time, because I've traced wires out before and it's not fun nor quick.
Mm.
And keep in mind, she's looking for the red, what was it? The red fuse,
red breaker or something.
Red breaker. Right.
Yep.
And so hovering at her eye level is this. Now there were other red lights in there too, but there's this red light that's at eye level, whereas the rest were all down lower, and it's floating, so it's moving back and forth, and it's making noise. And she still doesn't notice it.
Right.
Okay. Yep. Just, and again, silly complaint. I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, you know, as opposed to, like, story complaints, because right after we're seeing her kind of first get up there and start looking around, we have, Kenobi gets that comlink, whatever it was he had there, with a message from
Bail,
And as I'm watching, I'm going, he's not going to talk openly about this on a, really? I'm like, what? It just seems like that was way too, you know, loose lips sink ships type thing. It just seemed, why would you do that? Why would you give that information away?
Dear Obi-Wan Kenobi, a.k.a. Ben hanging out in Anchorhead on Tatooine,
right,
watching Luke Skywalker, Vader's son, half of twin siblings. If you're getting this message, .. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Mm-hmm.
Use some code or something.
Yeah, something. Hey, he could have mentioned, hey, you know, how's it going? Any updates? You know,
hey,
without old
friend, right, haven't heard from you in a long time.
Yep. And then, you know, fast forward to the end of the episode, we know who finds that garbled message and gets the details out of that, which flashes back to, was it episode 2 when she had the confrontation with, you know, Owen?
Oh, first episode.
Okay. I remember
the first. So she knows the name Owen.
Right. And she's like, you have any Jedi on that farm? You know, it, you know, foreshadowing. Yeah, he does. And no, I'm not going to say anything about it. But now I know you do. It's like, oh, jeez.
Yeah, somebody really dropped the ball on that one. Really dropped the comlink on that one. Can that be a thing now? Drop the comlink?
It could be. Drop the comlink. Yeah. I mean, somebody needs to school bail on whole, you know, covert communications.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just
well,
saying.
I mean, he is a politician, so.
True.
All right. So anyway. They get Leia a ladder because hashtag plot, and she gets up there and scrounges around for wiring. In the meantime, we know that they're trying to blast through the doors on the outside, so then we end up in a dark, quiet room with Obi-Wan and Tala having a quiet conversation in which she starts to reveal her backstory. And the reason for her guilt and the reason why she's doing what she's doing, because that's what characters do when they're going to die heroically 5 minutes later in every piece of fiction in history. Mm-hmm. Once you get them quiet, you're under siege and you have a quiet moment where they're revealing their backstory, they're gonna die.
Right.
They're the next ones up. And lo and behold, we get a very heroic death. We'll come back to that in just a moment. So she encourages Obi-Wan to work on his past guilt and try to make things better. And then he kind of thinks things over and he decides to negotiate. But the negotiations were short.
Yeah. And here's where I had my second kind of
Tim just missed the episode 1 quote there. Negotiations were short. Mm. Yeah. He would have appreciated that.
But the whole thing of, okay, so now they're going to chat with each other through the door,
mm-hmm.
you know, like Jedi would normally do. And they've been blasting at this door for what, 15, 20 minutes with this huge cannon that the stormtroopers have.
Yeah, what's your point?
They're hitting the target.
Dead center.
Accurate, you know, which, mm-hmm. you know, is surprising to them.
And then it was a pretty big cannon, and I think somebody else set it up for them, so it was already pre-aimed.
Yeah. But she whips out a lightsaber and slices through the, you know, the bar holding the doors closed like it was a hot knife through butter. I'm like, why did you even bother getting that cannon out? She could have walked up and said, hey, guys, hang on, I got this.
Right.
I was like, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's things like that that really get me to go.
Hashtag plot.
Storylines, like you didn't have this story thought out, did you? Or you thought this was really cool, but let's delay him until then. Okay.
Which is kind of related to my next point, is they go into the breach and the stormtroopers are invading the base, so they just all kind of swarm in, like what you see in zombie movies, because zombies have no brains and they just attack, and the ones in the front row fall down and the ones in the second row climb over top of them until they get shot and fall down, and eventually 37 rows back the zombies are close enough to eat your brains, right? So the
no wait, you're not calling my fellow 501st members
oh no zombies, they weren't there they okay. weren't there on
just
no
making sure
they weren't there in Jabim.
Just making sure
no but the Empire's finely trained military just wander right dead center into the middle of the room, bunched together, Not that the Rebels did much better, because their tactics were just about as bad.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take some cover or something. Star Wars in general has the worst squad tactics of any fiction in the history of fiction. It's just bad. I mean, it's got wars right there in the title, and yet none of the writers know anything. Like, somebody's got to have like a brother who, even if they weren't in the military, like they've watched war movies or something. Like, or somebody could read a book.
Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, love it. And it makes for a visually dynamic scene, and it's exciting, and I get it, and that's great, and that's wonderful, and that's part of what makes Star Wars Star Wars. On a side note, though, it's like, wow, those are bad. Like, no wonder stormtroopers are just so horrible at what they do.
Well, I mean, they are cannon fodder. There's a lot of them, so we just keep throwing them at the problem, you know.
So anyway, so they get into the base. Leia keeps looking for the nebulous, elusive red breaker lying right in front of her. And then Tala does the River Tam thing, but way less effectively than River Tam did. And, you know, she, instead of following everybody who's already through the door, she turns around and runs up to the stormtroopers shooting at them. Like, she could have gone through the door and then locked the door. Or shot the door, she runs through it or something. But instead, you guys go and I'll hold them off. Well, the door holds them off, Tala.
Yeah, it did seem a little bit pointless.
Yeah. So she needlessly does the heroic sacrifice thing. And then, you know, the droid, whose name nobody will remember, which actually, I just watched it again. It was Ned B.
Okay.
But anyway, but nobody's ever going to remember. I'm not going to remember that tomorrow.
But you know, but this is a loader droid that can't communicate, but now all of a sudden knows how to fire a weapon and is pretty effective. I was like, okay, he can't speak, but he fights. Okay, I get it.
I mean, it's not that, you know, if we had droids instead of stormtroopers, the stormtroopers would probably hit things.
True.
I mean, he's got better aim than stormtroopers do.
He does.
He's a droid.
You know, so two things about Ned B. I liked his coloring. He had the same colorings as short troopers.
Okay.
Good costuming on him.
Sure.
But also, when he was, you know, getting shot and kind of falling down there, I thought for sure he was going to fall over on Tala.
Yeah, I thought that too.
I was like, oh, she's going to get crushed by, oh, God.
I thought it would have been funny because, like, it would have looked like she's dead and the stormtroopers run past her and then she gets out from under the droid and she's okay. Yeah. No, instead, not only does she take a shot to the gut, but then she pulls out a thermal detonator. And rather, like, Obi-Wan standing like, no! But instead of grabbing the thermal detonator out of her hand and throwing it down the hallway towards the stormtroopers...
Or force grabbing it and tossing it down.
That's what I'm saying. He has the exactly.
Yep.
Yeah. No. He just yells no and waits for the door to close. The door she could have shot and then ran through initially instead of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So again, dramatic, and that's great. Yep. There were a lot of dramatic moments in the episode, and it was a good episode.
Yeah. But you're right. These little things are like, you think about it after that in hindsight, and you're like, yeah, that could have went better.
Right.
Like we didn't have to lose these people to do it. We could have done this without the death toll, you know?
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and part of me, like I said, I can't really fault her tactics when the stormtroopers weren't much better. So, but she was a military officer. Like, you would think that. Okay, moving on. Sorry. I really did love this episode. I really did. I'm not being sarcastic. Like, this. I liked this. So Vader back on the Devastator instructs the assault force to stand down. Obi-Wan has another flashback and he realizes it's over. He realizes he starts thinking about Anakin's need to be victorious and that need to get Obi-Wan to admit that he's defeated. And Obi-Wan, I think, kind of sits there and says, oh, I just have to go tell him, yeah, you won. And then all this stops. And there's this pause. So Vader can wait for me to go do that. And he's like, yeah, we're done. I'm just going to go out and surrender. So he goes out and surrenders, and Reva's like, ha ha, we got you now. And he's like, you're not bringing me to him. I'm bringing him to you. And this is another controversial part of the episode that I've seen a lot of people talk about. And this, ironically, so all these other plot points we're talking about that don't make any sense, this one does make sense to me.
Okay.
So Reva orders the stormtroopers to take Obi-Wan inside. Why would she go and let him go into the base and just, in what, two stormtroopers and the rest of them are sitting outside?
Mm-hmm.
So if she decided she wanted to take on Vader, would you rather take on Vader indoors with like one or two stormtroopers, or maybe Obi-Wan overtook the stormtroopers and got free, which is actually what happened? Or would you rather try to take him on outside where you're surrounded by stormtroopers? Even if they can't hit anything, one of them is accidentally going to hit something as they're shooting. So now you've got Obi-Wan and Reva versus Vader and a couple of squads of stormtroopers instead of just Obi-Wan and Reva versus Vader. So, excuse me, Reva, not Reva.
Yeah.
It makes sense that she would send Obi-Wan inside for, quote, safekeeping while they wait for Vader to arrive.
Yeah, I get that. And I think it was also, you know, now we know she's playing both sides type thing. So
right,
whether or not it made sense for her tactically to do it from an Imperial standpoint, it made sense for her to do it in the context of what was going on.
Exactly. I would argue it would not make sense for her to do it in like a normal scenario.
Right.
From an Imperial standpoint, right. You're right. But it's right. Because she was turning sides, I think, that it does make sense because she intentionally sabotaged the moment.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yep. I agree.
So let's see. I'm trying to figure out where we are in the show notes. Oh yeah. We've got yet another flashback here.
Right.
And this is where the flashbacks really kind of get to their point. And Obi-Wan tells Anakin, your need for victory, Anakin, it blinds you. And we get Vader arriving. Leia finds Lola. They fix the wires because hashtag plot. The doors open. Everybody boards the ship. And then Vader enters the bay. The ship takes off and Vader yanks it right out of the sky, slams it back down on the pad, and just starts tearing this thing open.
Yeah.
The walls with seats attached where people would be sitting. Just tears it apart in what may be the best Vader scene ever.
I was going to say, that was by far the most violent use of the Force I've seen anybody ever do. And it was executed perfectly for the storyline. Yes.
It was so, so good. We've seen that kind of thing in comic books. We've seen it in video games.
Right.
But to see it live action with actual Darth Vader doing
going
it.
Going at it, yeah.
Just ruthlessly.
Yep. And you know, I also compared and contrasted this to I'm drawing a blank on the new movies now. When Chewie was being taken away in a shuttle.
Oh.
And Rey grabs
Rise of Skywalker.
The ship. Yeah. It holds it there until it blows it. But it was like, you know, that was like, wow, it's kind of cool she could do that. And she almost had it. And then Vader made it look easy by comparison. I mean, he just, on the ground. So it's just cool to see what somebody with training in, you know, a better handling of Force can do.
Yeah. It was just so, so good. And then we get the moment where all of a sudden he's looking through the hole in the wall of the ship and then out the window on the other side, and he sees another ship take off. As he's looking through this empty ship that he just tore apart. So that was a clever move. On behalf of the rebels. That was kind of nice. We get another flashback, this time possibly from Vader's point of view, with Obi-Wan saying, you're a great warrior, Anakin, but your need to prove yourself is your undoing. Until you overcome it, a Padawan you will still be. Kind of thrown in some Yoda speak there. So that you will still be a Padawan. A Padawan you will still be. So we then move on to Reva coming up behind Vader and not knowing how to read the room, not realizing how timing works and that she completely missed her moment. She pulls out her lightsaber, ignites it, and then Vader just halts it in the Force and turns around and just basically laughs in her face. She just pummels away at Vader, who just sidesteps casually out of the way and just keeps kind of moving and ducking, and then kind of grabs her and throws her across the room, and then she dives back in, and then he takes his hand and he just turns his hand and just completely like flips her around in the air, like somersaulting her, and she can't get anywhere near him. And then she does the whole spinny lightsaber thing, and he halts that and then grabs it from her, snaps it in half, tosses her one of them. He doesn't even pull his own lightsaber. He just uses her against her.
Yep.
Kind of pulls the same trick that Obi-Wan did against him in the training. And just doesn't even break a sweat. So then I have to ask, is this the best Vader scene ever? I mean, they're both really good Vader scenes.
They are. They are.
And I have to say, I guess that between Rogue One and these scenes here and the scenes back in episode 3 of this series, I love how we're finally getting to see a scary Vader.
Right.
In,
right. We've been waiting for this for a long time.
Yeah. Like when you're a little kid and you're watching A New Hope for the first time, you see Vader walk onto the screen and you immediately know he's the bad guy just because he's imposing and everybody defers to him and all that. But you don't actually see him do anything really scary. He starts to choke Mahdi, Admiral Mahdi.
Right.
And
right.
Tarkin's like, Vader, enough. Let him go. And Vader's like, as you wish. Like, he's not even that, like, he's a little scary, but, like, by today's standards, it's like, okay, you know, yeah, whatever.
Night and day. Well, it's like, even, you know, there was that reimagined scene that I don't know who the artist was that did it, but redid the, you know, the Vader Kenobi fight on the Death Star.
From episode 4. That was amazing. Yeah,
it looks really good. It's like, wow, that's pretty cool, you know, and but this is even more so.
Yeah, we get to see why people are terrified of Vader. Mm-hmm. Between what he did to Obi-Wan in episode 3, the walking through the street and just grabbing people out of windows and throwing them out in the street and dragging people along using the Force by their neck on the ground and all that. And then this, grabbing a shuttle out of the sky, throwing it down on the ground, just start tearing it apart with the Force. This was cool. And then this lightsaber battle with Reva.
Yeah.
Really, it was not choreographed as impressively as the one in episode 3, but from a storytelling point of view, from a narrative point of view, this may be one of the best lightsaber battles.
Yeah, especially the way it finished with the flashbacks of the temple. You know, the night when Anakin came to kill the younglings, seeing him slashing at younglings and seeing her as the young girl, seeing this and witnessing this and realizing that he's not here to help us, he's here to kill us.
Right.
And then right down to the very end where he stabs her with a lightsaber in the gut, which we know is not fatal in Star Wars anymore after a couple episodes of people getting stabbed in the gut.
It cauterizes it.
So
it doesn't get septic.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know, he stabbed at her in the temple back when she was a kid too. Did she get stabbed then as well, or was that just a lunge he made that wasn't at her?
Kind of up in the air. I'm glad you brought that up, because she mentions as she's, you know, not negotiating through the door, that she played dead. How do you play dead with Vader?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Like, how does that even work?
I mean,
like, you lay there silently, like, he's gonna know. And also, you're not missing any limbs or anything, so, like, it's kind of a dead giveaway, no pun intended. I don't know. Yeah, and of course, they weren't very graphic with what happened in the temple, so we don't know exactly, you know, did he cut her, did he stab her, did anything happen to her, you know, we don't know. But yeah, that's the end of Reva, except it's not. She crawls over to her lightsaber. She finds the dropped comlink. She's like,
right.
Owen. Yeah, on Tatooine. I know that guy. And the kid. Oh, there's another kid I can go kidnap that right. Obi-Wan cares about. Yeah.
She has drive. I'll give her that.
Yes. Well, and as the Grand Inquisitor points out, revenge is does wonderful things to the will to stay alive. Yeah,
that was one thing that I thought was pretty, I don't know, poor about the storyline of this thing was that. So here we are at Celebration, and you know we have who's the actor that plays the Grand Inquisitor? Rupert Friend.
Yeah.
He was on stage, and he was on stage at the closing ceremony, and you know they made a big deal out of him being the Grand Inquisitor, and he's in like an episode and a half, and it's like, okay, what, you know? So we knew he was coming back.
Well, he dies in, spoiler alert, I don't even know if I want to say it. He dies later in the canon. We'll put it that way. Like, not in this series, but in a different piece of work in Star Wars.
Having them portray him this way and then having him just off, they should have at least had him, I don't know, alluded to more in this series, because we knew he wasn't going away.
Right. And here, we had him in episodes 1 and 2, and then at the very end of 5. So are we going to have him in 6? And I am speculating we are not.
Yeah. Well, you know, so do you want to talk about the speculation for episode 6 now at the end here, or we have more to do? And I think we're good, right?
I mean, just so talking about the Grand Inquisitor coming back at all, I'm curious as to, like, was Vader planning that all along? Was it a setup? I don't think it was a setup. Like, I think she thought she fatally wounded.
Right. But now that we're seeing this, I'm assuming that this was all orchestrated by Vader and the Grand Inquisitor, maybe, or one or the other, that give her the power to think she can do what she wants to do. And then we're going to get rid of her.
Yeah. I'm agreeing with that. I think you're right.
Cause I mean, I'm speculating now that in episode 6, I don't know if we're going to get a Vader Kenobi showdown.
Okay,
I'm suspecting this is more of Vader and Kenobi and Reva.
So, if any of our listeners want to avoid speculation, you can cut out now, and we will not fault you for that. And I should admit I do have some spoilers, though I also have good reason to believe that the ending has been changed.
Okay,
so there's that too, but yeah, if you want to, I'm not going to spoil anything, but we're definitely going to speculate here. If that bothers you,
you know me, I don't like spoilers. So, I'm pure speculating on what we're getting and what we're going to see.
Yeah. So saying that, we have to have a Vader Kenobi confrontation, right?
Okay.
Like, you introduced it earlier on and the hero of the narrative got his butt kicked. And so the rest of it has been him building up his strength and kind of getting back to where he was before. And now he has to overcome that last final ultimate hurdle. So from a literary point of view, you have to have a confrontation. Now, how that's going to play out or what's going to cause it, where it's going to happen, et cetera, I don't know. I expect it's probably not going to happen on Tatooine. And this is something I don't have a spoiler for anything like that. But you can't have it happen physically close to Luke. You can't have Vader knowing that Obi-Wan has been hiding on Tatooine, because then it's going to be, well, why? And he's going to investigate that. And right now, Reva knows about Tatooine. Nobody, to my knowledge, nobody else knows about Tatooine, not even the other Inquisitors, because when they caught scent of Kenobi, it was on Dayu.
That
Blade Runner-like planet.
Yep. So, I mean, I'm picturing a Kenobi Reva showdown on Tatooine, where I'm imagining he bests her.
Okay.
Because you know, we know she's going after Luke now. I mean, they foreshadowed that with her seeing the garbled message. I see part of me wants to say that what we saw in this episode was Kenobi besting Vader. Just
arguably
strategically, not physically.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm kind of speculating that the last episode is all about Kenobi getting rid of the threat to Luke.
Okay. And that makes sense. My opinion is that, again, I feel like from a traditional storytelling point of view, we need to have a face-to-face confrontation between you and Obi-Wan.
I think thematically that would be right. But right. I don't see
you are correct, there, though. But, I mean, yeah. Obi-Wan totally schooled Vader here. Mm. And if you wanted to do the, you know,
and basically the same
I was
way
but the learner, him. Now I'm the master thing. I mean, right. He definitely got schooled.
And it was basically the same way he did it in the flashbacks.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, that's why I'm just kind of piecing those together.
Which is adding insult to injury, really. It's like, oh, yeah, I've seen that coming.
Did the same thing 10 years later. Yeah.
Right, right. So, yeah, I think that is a valid speculation. I do think that there will be another showdown. And then Reva, I can't speak too much because I do know some of that. But what I will say is at the end of this episode, where does Reva stand?
Mm. She's no longer an Inquisitor.
Nope. She can't fall into the Grand Inquisitor anymore. She can't fall under Vader because they both want to kill her and thought they did. So yeah, if she shows her face again with the Empire, she's done.
They left her for dead. She's out. I mean, she could become a bounty hunter.
She could. She probably still resents Kenobi. So I don't think she's going to go team up with him. So where do we go?
Does she or doesn't she? Because I mean, she did fall in line with him in this episode. You know, I found it bizarre she was going to accept Kenobi's offer to help team up against Vader. You know, I was like, okay. And I also felt maybe now she's more pissed off that I don't know what their decision was, but I was thinking they're going to take on Vader together, and they didn't. Kenobi said, okay, see ya. You know, and she left her to fend for herself.
So you could also argue, though, that you've got the three-way standoff. And the smartest thing to do there is if the other two people really hate each other, let them fight it out.
Sure.
One's going to lose, and in this case, die. The other one is at the very least going to be exhausted. And so your chances of taking them are pretty good. So even if she, I looked at it as she did not want to work with Kenobi. She logically agreed that it makes sense.
Okay.
And so that's probably why she missed her opportunity and waited too long. She's waiting for that conflict to kind of resolve a little bit so that she could swoop in and take advantage of whoever was still standing, but now weakened, except it never happened. And Vader wasn't weakened. So right. I don't know.
He like, didn't break a sweat. Yeah.
Right. So that's a good question. Well, does she side with Kenobi now or doesn't she?
It just brings up, you know, the fact that even though we've had issues with some stuff in this episode, both technologically and story-wise, the story is still good enough that keeps us guessing and keeps us wanting to know more and can't wait to see the ending of this series.
Right.
Yeah. Now the rumor is it's a long episode too, right? I heard like an hour and a half.
I don't have good data on that.
I don't have my understanding concrete, that's is what I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. My understanding is it's lengthier. It's over an hour. Is the rumor. And of course you got to keep in mind, you've got the all the international titles and stuff at the end. So like there's 10 minutes worth of credits.
Right. But still, you know, instead of a 50 minute episode with 10 minutes of credits, hopefully it's an hour and a half episode with 10 minutes of credits.
Right.
So it gives you some more sort of to sink your teeth into. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm happier now than I've been for a long time in Star Wars, as far as what's coming along. Mm-hmm. We're not getting any more movies anytime soon, but hey, this is fantastic stuff. I take 6 hours of content versus a 2 hour movie any day of the week.
The Taika Waititi movie apparently is, I think we mentioned this, has been moved out past 2023 now. Yep. And you know, it's interesting. I heard that Kenobi is going to be showing in some select theaters too.
Yeah, I guess in Canada. I don't think anything in the States, but they're doing on Wednesday all 6 episodes back to back as if it's one long movie, which
I like that.
Sounds awesome to me. Yeah,
that's cool. I kind of wish we had something like that here. So
me too. Yep.
Yeah. Well, I will say I'm looking forward to it. I'm really annoyed at it. It's hard right now being a Star Wars fan sometimes, especially when you're focused on Disney Plus and you see the Star Wars content coming out every now and then. And then there's always a Marvel thing going on.
Yeah.
When there's not a Marvel show, there's a Marvel movie coming out within 30 days.
Yeah.
And then when that's done, within the next 30 to 60 days, there's another Marvel series going on. Like, it's just all over the place. Star Wars.
Think about the same thing, too.
Yep. What do we got? You know, I mean, we've got Andor coming up next, but when is that? Later in the year.
Yeah, this fall. Yep.
And so that's good, but the next Mandalorian is not going to be until next year.
Right.
It's tough.
Yeah, we've said it time and time again how we just think their planning process sucks compared to what Marvel's done.
Yeah.
I mean, there's still plenty of good stuff to talk about, too. I mean, we still haven't even gotten into really recapping Celebration.
No.
And there was, you know, there's a lot of good stuff told to us there, you know, whether it's Lego stuff or, you know, Andor series or, you know, the new stuff they've announced. We've got weeks worth of stuff to cover that. We're going to try to do these and break up into small episodes and do, you know, 20, 30 minutes on one topic at a time and not try to cover everything all at once. But there's a lot to be happy for and excited for in Star Wars right now.
Yeah.
It's just not theatrical, unfortunately. Yeah,
exactly. Well, and I mean, I'm starting to come around to your side of things where, you know, maybe the TV stuff's better than the movies. You know,
I like it because we're getting more content, but yes. I still want to go to a movie and see a movie. I mean, I want to go to a theater and see a movie.
Yeah, I mean, we kind of grew up with that. That's a thing for our generation of Star Wars fans. So, well, you know, so we've got the Celebration stuff to cover. Then after that, you know, we've got to speculate on the shows they should be doing that we want them to make. And then after that, we, you know, maybe we'll do some improv stuff. Sort. I don't know. Like, we've got to keep the torch burning.
Yeah, we've been talking about some ideas that may work out. So it'll be fun.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's going to do it then for this episode of Force Chatter. We will be back next week, next episode, Force Chatter number 45, to discuss the finale of Obi-Wan Kenobi. We're going to have a wrap-up of what happened. We are finally going to know what goes on at the end of the series. We are going to be able to tackle all of these debates and memes and complaints people have already had about the finale before it even airs, and what does it mean, and it's destroying the canon that we've known for 40 years, and all of those things. We're going to be able to discuss those.
It'll be a day long remembered.
It will be. And we'll even talk about what the original ending was going to have been.
Okay, yeah. I don't even know what that is.
And why I think that would have torn the internet apart.
Okay, can't wait to hear it.
Yeah, yeah. I really hope the rumor's true that they changed the ending, because those of us who found out the ending were worried. So we'll talk about that too. It'll be a lot of fun, but that's going to do it for this week. Thank you for hanging in with us. Be sure to head over to randomchatter.com to check out the other podcasts on the network. And while you're there, head to randomchatter.com/Discord and join us in the Discord server for discussions about Kenobi, other things going on in Star Wars. We just opened up a new channel in the server for, it's called Star Wars Analysis. It's for deep dives on things in Star Wars. And, it's a lot of fun. So come join us there. Hang out with us. And we will be back next week with more. So until then, take care.